Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Listen to These Nerds. My name is Chris, and I'm going to be running the game for tonight. We're going to be playing more Heroes of Pacific City. Starting at the top of the chat channel and going downwards, we have four of our players tonight.
Hello, my name is Harry, and I will be playing Gene Ondori, a.k.a. Sation.
Hi, I'm Joe, and I'll be playing Brandon Hart, a.k.a. Mr. Medium.
Hi, I'm John. I'm going to be playing Epimethea / Cassandra / Delphi. I think that's all my characters' names.
Hi, my name is Sam. I'm going to be playing Casilla. That's all of my characters' names.
And I'm Jonathan. I'm going to be playing Evelyn. She's real cool. She also goes by the Pelicanetic.
Hell yeah, Braticus.
Okay, so last time we left off, I believe our heroes, after a close call with the guild in which they were able to successfully lie to them about their reasons for being at the same location as apparently a wanted criminal.
That's technically not an entire lie. It was more of an omission.
Also, we didn't really know, so...
Yeah.
Well, at all the same, you were able to pull their wool over their eyes. You told them that you were there for something else that had nothing to do with the dude, and you also convinced them that Pelicanetic was not responsible for his escape. So, just keep that in mind. But anyway, it turns out that there was a problem going on just outside the Guild's HQ of the Magi Foundation. You guys hurried over and helped them in repelling a demon attack. It looks like, a bunch of demonic soldiers were trying to invade the building, but you guys put a stop to that super quick. It is immediately after the fight because, Daniel Davis, the head of the Magi Foundation, wants to talk to all of you.
He is also standing above his statue's head. Which has rolled to his feet.
Yeah. Who was responsible for that again?
Mr. Medium, who slammed a statue of this guy into another guy and might have obliterated it.
Yeah. So anyhow, let's jump back in. I'd say it's been about 20 minutes since that happened. A lot of folks, all of the necessary authorities have come onto the scene regarding, paramedics and, additional, police officers to secure the scene, but basically you guys have been watching a number of individuals from the Magi Foundation, taking these demons into containment and stuff. Basically they've just been using methods to lock them down, what looked to be, runic handcuffs and stuff like that. And the guild has been marching these guys basically into the building, into this sort of containment sort of freight elevator or something. But as this has been going on, your team has been led to kind of just this side meeting room on the first floor, presumably because Davis wants to talk to you guys once he has a few minutes.
All right, Chris, am I able to, quickly do a few things while we're sort of, moving over there?
What's up?
So basically, as we're sort of being led into this meeting room, Kiai is going to sidle up beside Casilla and sort of, poke a finger in her arm. And then, Casilla, you hear Jean again inside your head going, all right, Casilla, so remember, when we're talking to them, you don't say anything about what happened in the sewers or with that giant frog thing, all right? As far as they know, we were never there. If you understand what I'm getting at with this, just look at me and give me a thumbs up.
Casilla will look at you and give you the most apparent eye wink. Just like...
And then you hear, the voice again go all right, I'm going to take that as a yes. And then,
And then she's going to turn to you and give you a massive thumbs up. Not even, a little bit, hiding
no subtlety
it.
Whatsoever.
Subtlety, I don't know what that means.
While Kiai is doing that, Gene is also going to send a text to Epimethea and just be so how are we going to talk about how we've been tracking these magical signatures? Power from the gods? ?
We don't even need to necessarily talk about that. We can just say that we were able to interrogate some of the demons. Mm. And that because of that, we were able to discover information, and then they don't need to know how we're tracking the demons necessarily. If they, unless they ask for it specifically, don't secrets. Volunteer. And if they do ask, just we can. I think we've already revealed that we can track magical signatures. Okay. That's what we told them. It's, led us
and,
to the.
And also, they haven't been forthright about like the things they've been doing. So I don't see why we have to be right. Like,
yeah, Jane's just like, covering bases. So yeah, he'll send back like a thumbs up emoji.
All right, so it sounds as though you guys have a plan. So I will say that, yeah, you guys were led into this room soon after the initial, you know, containment started coming out and the Magi started cleaning up. So it's been, yeah, you guys have been in this room for maybe about 15 to 20 minutes. And then Davis comes in, as well as the other members of the guild. Yeah, they look like they've taken a couple of licks and scrapes here and there. And Davis himself looks, you know, maybe a little frazzled at all the work he's suddenly been doing, you know, to make sure that is, you know, the foundation he helped to create is no longer under attack. But yeah, basically he sits down heavily in one of the seats across from you guys and, yeah, basically turns to face you across the table. All right, well, we've gotten just about everything as much under control as we can for now. So now that we have a few minutes, I suppose we can start talking about a few things. First off, I wanted to say thank you for assisting us in preventing this attack. Frankly, it could have been a lot worse if you guys hadn't been here, so I do feel as though we owe you that at least.
It's no problem. It's what heroes do. As, like, Gene looks over and sees a bit of the ash from the spider bomb still on him, and he, like, dusts it off a little.
Mm. On him as in yourself, or on Davis?
On, like, off my shoulder. You're not, like, you know, standing next to the guy and, like, brushing
off
it off
your shoulder.
Yeah.
Alright, thank you for clarifying. Now, okay, so yeah, he nods at that. Yes. Now, in regards to information, and then suddenly the door opens up, and there was one member of the guild that maybe, you didn't see come in initially. Artificer is ducking down and coming through this enormous open set of double doors with a big stack of pizzas in one of his enormous artificial hands.
Hello, everyone. I apologize for being late. I had to receive this shipment of pizzas. So,
and he, you know, sets them down on the table. Maybe a little too oblivious to Davis's suddenly glare at being interrupted. And
so we have cheese, pepperoni. I wasn't sure if any of you were vegetarian, but I did get cheese because cheese is vegetarian and some people don't like, you know, getting one of those pizzas with tomatoes and peppers and black olives and all those on top. And then suddenly, sorry.
And the artificer just steps off to one side and kind of, you know, moves the pizzas over just a bit.
Yeah. As Gene's gonna like reach over for a slice of pizza, he's gonna open up the the bottom half of his mask so that his mouth is visible, and he's gonna mouth like, "Thanks, buddy," as he gives him like a thumbs up.
Casita will also take a large quantity of pizza for herself and start eating.
Yeah. And so Artificer gives you a thumbs up.
No problem. Everything's hunky dory, dude.
And, yeah, as for Carsonon, you know, he's kind of, you know, towards the back of the group, watching everybody, arms folded, you know, definitely doing the cool thing by not taking a piece of pizza, but all of you have an idea that he would absolutely take the pizza if he could, but he can't take his helmet, like, his helmet is designed so he can't eat without fully taking off his entire helmet.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you hear him shift behind you maybe a little uncomfortably. Yeah. Then, with that, Davis, now back onto the subject at hand. We have been getting a little bit of information regarding these demon attacks. Any information that you have could certainly help, I believe. But we've been interested to hear if any of you have uncovered anything regarding these creatures.
Well, to be frank, we were actually already planning on coming to talk to you about these things. You see, you folks over here seem a lot better equipped to deal with whatever these are than we are. You know, this is kind of a first for us, a massive interdimensional invasion. These things are intelligent to a certain degree. We don't have a way to keep them. We're not even sure how to effectively communicate with them. It's a bit of a stumbling block.
Yeah.
At this, Davis nods for a bit. I will admit, we did luck out in some regards. We have been studying magic for a very long time here. A lot of the methods that we have for containing and subduing these demons, we happen to have... Well, it was more coincidence than anything else. But we do have some facilities that we are currently using to keep these things under lock and key. That's where we're taking the soldiers that attempted this attack earlier. In addition... we have actually made progress on our attempts to cure some of the people that have suffered from, well, we're referring to it as demonization at the moment. And in fact, although it's been difficult doing so, we've actually discovered a way to cure people and purge the infection.
Fashion magazines.
He gives you a bit of a look at this, Casilla. No.
Mr. Media puts more pizza in front of Casilla.
Ooh, good pizza. I like this.
So, yeah, Carsonon just gives you a subtle nod, Mr. Medium. Then,
gives him a thumbs up and is eating pizza.
Yeah. Davis continues at this. We have found a way to assist people, so in addition to your methods of curing people... Yes, there are more ways than one of solving this particular problem.
Out of curiosity, what's your method? Since, I mean, you've seen ours.
That, respectfully, that's classified. That sort of information is on a need-to-know basis.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So you folks aren't working with HIT or anything. It's all in-house.
In regards to that, our technology is entirely self-developed. We're not collaborating with any other... outside institutions or any other developers to create what we have here. Magic is very complicated, and the technology that we've developed to sort of interface with it to an extent is very particular.
Alright. Have you been able to discover anything about the invaders' plans?
Well, we do know a few of the basics. Witchbane? And at that, Witchbane sort of takes over. She goes over, there's actually a whiteboard on the side wall. She takes a marker and begins drawing on it. At the moment, what we've discovered is that there is a singular ship that contains the demons. They refer to it as the Ark. At the moment, this seems to be similar to a sort of initial probing attack. Something to test our defenses and see what our response is. In addition, this is also a method to increase their own population by converting a number of individuals before taking them back aboard the Ark and returning to their home dimension, upon which these individuals will be sacrificed in order to create a new subspecies of demon. Worst case scenario, we are assuming that if they were to continue in their efforts, they may press the initial attack until all of Pacific City is destroyed. We have also tried to alert Seaside sentries about this, but right now the tensions at the border are becoming inflamed. It is remarkable that the sentries don't believe this to be a priority threat considering what's going on over there, but it says a lot as to the severity of their own situation that they're not coming back in order to deal with this.
How big is this ship? You had an idea? Like, are we talking, you know, blotting out the sun big, or... Because I can't imagine you could hide that thing in the city pretty well.
It is our understanding that the Ark is in a smaller sort of pocket dimension of its own, sort of a space between spaces. Easier to get to than their home dimension, but finding it, we are hoping to learn more about how to properly access it by finding more of the demons in the city. We believe that there are three lieutenants in total who have been able to hide amongst the populace. One of them we have uncovered already. The other two are unknown.
How did you manage to find the first one, then?
We have our ways of tracking magical signatures in the city. One of them we determined to be at a location, a public location that was used for other criminal activities. It's our understanding that the lieutenant infiltrated this location in hopes of selecting the strongest humans possible in order to add them to the ranks of the corrupted.
I am surprised then that they did not go for me.
At this, she stepped back from the diagram that she's been drawing in. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You know, there's the Ark, the three lieutenants. Aside from that... Now, that said, that is all that we have been able to uncover so far. What of the rest of you?
Well, not much. We've had run-ins with a few, you know, stragglers, I guess you can call them. We've interrogated a couple of them, but most of them seem to be pretty clueless as to the things above that. And other than that, we've just been, like we said back in the parking lot, kind of just finding weird spots where weird things keep happening and showing up. Unfortunately, as you can imagine, it's not the most effective method of tracking something down. Hence the reason why we wanted to come to you guys. You know, kind of figure you'd be a bit better at, you know, narrowing these things down, as it were.
Yeah, we have a lot of resources, but we don't exactly have a magic sensor.
Davis nods at this. Well, that's understandable. If you don't mind helping out further, if we were to uncover something else within the city, we would make sure to let you know. Hopefully, if we were able to take care of one of the two remaining lieutenants, we'd be able to get some information about how to get to the Ark, find the ship, and shut it down once and for all.
What are the, these lieutenants? They got, names or anything like that?
At this, Witchbane continues writing on the board. So far, we have two other names, aside from the one that we've obtained already. We have Virgol and Elok. We don't know what their methods would be or what portion of the populace they're attempting on converting, but we shall have to wait and see.
With that, Sation, you're going to see Casilla just like take an entire like box of pizza and then look at you, like side-eye you very pointingly, and then just start shoving slices of pizza in her mouth as quickly and like blocking a hole tight as possible. And then she's going to give you a big thumbs up and a wink.
Yep, and Sation's just going to like look and go like give you the thumbs up back and be like, apologies, she's a voracious eater.
It will be two in a contest.
Yeah, Duelist, he's frozen in position. He was leaning across the table in order to open up that exact pizza box, and he is staring very pointedly at the both of you. Yeah, I can tell.
Would you like to go into combat one-on-one? Pizza versus pizza.
Just like, I'm going to like roll my chair over to Casilla's thing and just sort of like pull it back away from the table very slightly.
I have already defeated Mr. Medium in a contest of food.
Evelyn's going to clear her throat. Good question. Just in the interests of transparency, look, we don't know very much about each other. Well, to be exact, I don't know anything about any of you folks. This whole situation is beyond us. And I'm not just talking about our team, our capabilities. I'm talking about, like, beyond the capabilities of this world to react. If we are going to effectively deal with this problem, we are going to have to work together. I appreciate everything that you've done so far and all the information that you've shared, but I don't know. There's something in me that is bothered by this classified information. I understand that, you know, there are certain things that you may or may not want to get out to the public, but we're not the public. If we're going to fully work together, I want to be able to completely trust you.
At this, so the members of the guild have been watching you with varying expressions. Witchbane definitely seems to be, like, the most focused, you might say. Like, she is definitely locked onto you and is scrutinizing you heavily as you say this. Chimera seems gruff, but relatively, stoic Beacon, she's just kind of been staring off to one side with a bit of this sort of detached, almost eerie smile on her face. Like, you're not sure what her deal is. But nevertheless, Davis takes all this information in stride, just slowly nodding. Well, it our technology is a very closely guarded secret. It is a lot of technical information regarding our methods of extracting the demonic essence from infected individuals, but the method of doing so is private, but I can assure you that there is nothing untoward or, he's trying to look for the right word, suspicious about our method of doing so. We're helping people out, we're making sure that they go back home to their families.
Don't mind me asking, but, you know, look, we're not the fucking magical competitors. We're not coming out with a different product stealing your IP. Like, we're just want to know how we can better track these things.
That... he kind of, yeah, at this, purses his lips. That, again, is something I'm not too sure about. Our methods of tracking them, I mean, it is taking us some time as well. These things have a signature like nothing we've seen before. And, but, as soon as we discover that either one of the lieutenants is here in Pacific City... If you would like, we could contact you for the sake of discussing perhaps a pincer attack. Both of our teams working together to take down the threat as efficiently as possible.
And with that, like, Gene's gonna go sit back in the chair a little bit and be like, I suppose that this is probably the closest we're gonna get to a compromise, yes?
There is one other thing that I believe you might be able to help us out with. There is currently a wanted criminal that has been brought to our attention here in Pacific City. An individual that we were trying to apprehend earlier. And at this, Witchbane nods and writes down another name on the board, Joseph Thresher. And at this, Davis continues, Mr. Thresher, for some reason, I'm not sure why, he decided to attack the offices of an associate of ours, somebody who's actually been helping us with developing some of the technology necessary to extract the demon essence from individuals. But nevertheless, Mr. Thresher is known to possess superhuman abilities, and he's currently hiding somewhere in the city with stolen information.
So is that why it seemed like you guys showed up with the cavalry?
Sorry, can I ask... Interesting. So he's a corporate spy. Is that what you're worried about?
We don't believe he's a corporate spy implies that he's
working for someone.
We don't know who or what he's working for. It's our understanding that Joseph Thresher is an associate of the individual who is helping us at the moment, but beyond that, we know very little about him. Nevertheless, because of his actions and his abilities, we're assuming him to be quite dangerous. In addition, the police also have hard evidence of him damaging the offices and, in fact, video surveillance footage of him doing so. And as a result, they do have a warrant for his arrest.
And what are his powers exactly?
Yeah, I was going to ask the same thing.
And at this, Witchbane steps in again. We believe him to be capable of summoning some form of spectral construct resembling, well, sharks. That is all we have based on the video evidence.
Well, we'll definitely keep our ears to the ground in case a shark wielder shows up. But we'd appreciate it that if you manage to get any more information on these lieutenants, let us keep us in the loop so that way we can, you know, help each other out.
Yeah. Davis, you know, nods to all of you with a guarded, but at the same time, you know, it's not a neutral expression. Like, you can tell that he's considering the option, nodding in the way that, you know, enigmatic businessman may do. But behind him, Artificer is very clearly giving you guys a huge, stony thumbs up.
Yeah. I like Artificer. He's cool. But yeah, I assume we have some sort of, like, contact line for people to reach us at. Yes, I think we've established this before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Gene will pull out, like, will reach into like a pocket on his suit and pull out the thing. If you find any information, here's our card. That's sort of like a direct line to us. Just, you know,
555 torch.
And yeah, Davis will take that and he will jot down his own information and hand it to you. Likewise, if you hear any sort of information, this is the best contact information. Sorry. This is the best number to reach me at.
This is, I guess, a good time to for me to ask. I wanted to get a description of Witchbane.
So, Witchbane, like a physical description?
Yeah, like a physical description.
Okay. Yeah, she very heavily resembles a Von Helsing-style monster hunter. Like, she's dressed in a ton of dark leathers with a sort of huge, trench coat and a wide-brimmed hat. She has a pair of goggles on her face, and that contains sort of like these green lenses, as well as a pair of like small handheld crossbows strapped to the sides of her hips, like, you know, pistols and holsters, basically. And she has a whole bunch of other tools and devices all along her belt and a pair of bandoliers going across her front.
All right. Can I, while everybody else is like chatting with other people, go up to Witchbane?
So, yeah, as she is, watching all of you and these discussions are ongoing, numbers being handed out, you go up to her and she's watching you. Yeah, she doesn't really seem to have an off switch from what you've gathered so far. But yeah, she's watching you a bit hawkishly.
I'm going to ask, like, I'm going to, like, look at her and be like, I have to ask you something. Where did you, where did you get that hat?
And that is someone who specializes in this type of clothing made it. I believe that they do work here in the facility. They do create costumes for according to customization and specifications.
Can you please take me shopping? I would like to go to the mall with you.
No.
Please.
And
come on, Casilla, let's not bother them anymore.
And I'm gonna give her like a something that's like clearly a like her own Casilla's number, and like and like a personal home phone number.
Yeah, you give her the Smith's number.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I would really like to hang out sometime.
And she she just takes the number, like, holding it up between thumb and forefinger, like, kind of holding it as if, you know, she doesn't want to touch it with her entire hand, and just regarding it with a bit of a grimace.
And then she's gonna, like, I'm gonna give her, like, a double thumbs up and a wink.
And I'm going to say it's at this point maybe that, Gene, you intervene and drag Casilla back to the rest of the group.
Yeah, it's like, all right, come on, Casilla, we got group meetings to attend.
I need to... My grandmaster told me that I should make friends.
It's like, well, that's admirable. And then as we're, like, sort of walking out of the room, Gene's going to, like, get in really close. It's like, but I don't think she wants to be friends with you.
I will make her be friends with me.
No, we can't do that. That's bad.
No, it is okay. I will simply keep at it until she is friends with me.
Okay, we are going to have a serious talk about, like, general personal boundaries, because that shit's not cool.
So, yeah, as you say this, are any of you guys going to ask any other questions, or are you going to head out and reconvene, you know, as a group?
So Mr. Me is just going to ask, so, who's this friend, this pressure guy, ripped off, who's helping you with the special technology that you can't talk about?
At this, Davis, he is somebody who is working at, one of the local universities. A very intelligent individual.
And I suppose you're not exactly gonna give us a name?
Again, a lot of this is private. And how were you planning on doing that exactly? Were you hoping to investigate this matter and find Thresher on your own?
We have a history of beat work. You know, we're not just heroes that fly in, deal with a problem, and fly out. We
cannot even fly.
We solve problems, you know? And to do that properly, we need information.
At this, Davis kind of nods thoughtfully at this. I do suppose that for our methods, there is something of a lack of down-to-earth, nose-to-the-ground work that I suppose... Now, that does make sense. Very well. If you were hoping to obtain more information on Thresher, I suppose I could give you the contact information of the person who he robbed. That would be... Yes, if you were to speak to a man named Fisher at the Pacific City University, you would be able to find more information.
Does he just go by Fisher, or...?
Dr. Fisher. Quick pause. Jonathan, his first name is King?
Yes.
Okay. Oh my god, you killed him.
It's a superhero world! What do you want me to do?
Yes,
and you guys claim that Casilla's not subtle.
I know authors that use subtext. They're all cowards.
Yeah, there we go.
Very good. Dr. King Fisher.
All right. Well, forever in the realm of the university, we probably will get in touch with this individual, see what we can learn. Anyway, but and assuming that nobody else has any other questions before we leave.
I forgot everything I need to.
Yeah. So with that, he's like, thank you for your time, Mr. Davis. And then, looking past Davis at Artificer, Gene is going to, snap up two finger guns and be like, take it easy, big guy.
Artificer, before anyone can stop him, Artificer just holds out a big stone fist for a bump.
Oh, yeah, he's going. Station okay. is going in for that bump.
All right, the two of you exchange the dap, and the other members of the guild kind of, regard this with a bit of surprise. but yeah, Artificer, even, his body language shows he's very pleased, but as you guys are all heading out, I'm gonna say, Sation, that, Duelist is off by one side, he's leaning back against the wall, arms folded in front of him, kind of watching you guys leave, and then... As you're going past Station, he just says, so, big guy. And he kind of pushes himself off the wall a little bit. Interesting moves I saw you do back during the fight and all that.
And then Station is just going to be like, ah, oh, I could say the same thing about yourself.
Huh. What sort of school did you train with?
Well, come on now. I can't tell you that. I mean, after all, people as like us... That may as well be a fingerprint.
People, and he kind of, cocks his head a little bit to the side. People like us.
You know what I mean. And with that, he's just going to have, Ki-I materialize behind him. Just doing, pointing at him.
Maybe I do. And a spirit hand, an arm sort of materializes kind of out of the side of his body, the shoulder connecting to where his normal human shoulder is, and brings the hand up and kind of, scratches the side of his nose for a moment. Hmm. Well then, you guys take care of yourselves. And then there is, once again, that moment where you just narrow in on his face and the menacing sound effect appears around his head.
Yeah. Yeah. You also take care of yourself.
Hmm. And then suddenly he, blinks rapidly and kind of rubs up at his eyes. Shit, that did it for you too, huh?
Yeah, that happens occasionally.
Yeah, every single time, I don't know why it happens. It's,
All right.
But then, with that, the six of you leave the Magi Foundation. So, what are you all going to do now?
What time is it at this point?
I would say it's mid-afternoon, maybe about 3:30.
Crap. You said that I had a class to teach at 3:30-ish, yeah?
I'm gonna say it's pretty soon, yeah.
Yeah. So Gene's gonna take a look at his wall, take a look at the phone and see the time. He's like, oh, shit. Okay, guys, I hate to leave you hanging for this, but I've gotta go. Duty calls and all that stuff.
All right.
Oh, Pelicanetic, by the way, Casila, one of the people Casila's living with, wants your autograph. Ask her about it. Medium, you're in charge of Casila while I'm gone.
Can I get a ride?
Ask Mr. Medium! As, like, Gene launches himself out of there.
Casila's gonna look over at Mr. Medium, smile, and be like, would you like to go get some food?
We just ate face.
I'm ready for another challenge. Hello?
Why exactly am I supposed to be babysitting you? How old are you?
Oh, I am old enough to be on my own. You do not have to worry. You can allow me to go by myself.
Gene has to make a card that just says, like, do the opposite of what Casila says.
All right. So, after Sation leaves, Personon steps in.
So, as for what to do next, I think maybe we should find a place to talk about recent developments and the meeting we just had.
Back to the base it is.
And Mr. Mean's gonna start heading back to the base.
Evelyn's gonna follow as well.
Okay. So, soon enough, you guys are back at the base, minus Sation. So
I'm gonna say that as you guys arrive, you, like, see Sation changing into, like, the clothes that he came in. And then he's like, oh, damn it. Yep. Like, oh, yeah, sorry, still gotta get going. And, like, takes off down the tunnels.
Just before Evelyn enters the base, she's gonna take a long, hard look at that billboard.
It seems to be rotating between a certain set of advertisements. Like, it doesn't seem to be out of the ordinary. And you don't see your name anywhere.
Okay, that's good, I think. All right, as soon as she's back in the base, she's going to start, like, taking off her stuff and packing up.
Okay.
She's actually going to go up to Epimethea, if Epimethea is there.
Yeah, she is.
Okay. Listen, I don't like those people. I don't trust them. I think I know exactly what's going on. I'm honestly kind of terrified. I need to talk to Dr. Thresher. But I have a really, really bad feeling about what's going on, and specifically about what they're not telling us.
All right.
Look, I don't know if I've told you very much about how I got my powers, but the experiment that, basically it was an experiment gone wrong. We were doing work with a supercomputer and brain electrodes, and there was a pelican involved, obviously. But anyways, the data, all of the schematics, everything that is needed to recreate that experiment, I know that Dr. King Fisher has that. And I'm not entirely sure whether... I think he may have figured it out. And I think he may be doing it again, or trying to. I'm not 100% sure. Again, I want to talk to Dr. Thresher just to make sure that that isn't what happened to him. But if it is, and if Dr. King Fisher is working with those people, I don't know. I've got a really, really bad feeling.
I'm going to say at this point, you... Go ahead, John.
Is Dr. Fisher aware of your abilities?
He doesn't know anything about me. He doesn't know anything about my alternate life. I really want to keep it that way.
Assuming that you were the first, not the second, he would have no reason to want to replicate the experiment. Seems odd that that quite literally... an accident that seemed to lead to nothing would be something you would attempt to replicate.
You know what? I hadn't thought of that. That makes me feel a lot better. Huh. You've got to admit, though, it is a bit of a coincidence. This Thresher guy shows up out of nowhere, trashes Dr. King Fisher's lab, and then suddenly, for some reason, has basically an identical power set to mine, except for with sharks. I don't know. It's something about this is really skeezing me out. Maybe it's just the billboard thing. Something's trying to communicate with us. I don't know why. It's on our side, baby. Maybe we're being toyed with by that fucking witch person. I don't know.
I will say at this point, everyone gets to tell, like, a message in the group chat that is just Gene saying, it's like, so we're all in agreement that the Magi Foundation is suspect as all hell, right?
Listen, I'm
the response from Cassandra is yes for the. You've said this several times, and the answer is still yes.
I dropped off Dr. Thresher, and we made arrangements to meet at the bar with no name. I think it might be better if I go alone, or at least if we don't all go together. I'm not going in costume. I think it's safer that way.
At this, Carcinon's going to speak up. Are you sure you should go alone, or do you believe that you might spook him if you were to go with one or more of our members?
It's not about him. It's that I don't trust that we're not being watched. Those people found a way to track Dr. Thresher before. I think they could do it again. If I show up as the Pelicanetic and they see us together, that's our cover as a group blown. But if they see us together and I'm just, you know, Dr. Kingfisher's postdoc, that confirms their suspicions. Or whatever suspicions they may have about the King Dr. Kingfisher's relationship with Dr. Thresher, etc., etc. It muddies the waters. It keeps us torch out of it. It might make things more complicated for me, but I still have my alter identity, right? It's just kind of cleaner.
Cassila is going to come up behind are you Pelicanetic now? I've forgotten your character's...
Evelyn.
I'm going to come up behind Evelyn and kind of softly put a hand on your shoulder and then say, I understand, Miss Evelyn. I, too, received these horrible messages. And then I'm going to sort of grip your shoulder a little bit and be like, what powers do you think I will get? What animal?
Evelyn is just going to look at you really long, like really hard, and blink for a long time and then turn back.
Listen, would like a bunny.
Maybe I am being paranoid about this, but there's something going on. There's something big going on. I don't know if it's bigger than this alien invasion. I don't know if that's related to anything. This whole thing is freaking me the fuck out. I don't know. I have too many questions and not enough answers.
Let's just say that I don't trust these corporate tight-lipped cop buying.
And Mystery is going to continue on for a little bit.
Sons of bitches!
Yeah.
Even though I could probably throw him pretty far!
Yeah, I'm gonna say that.
That being said!
Okay. As you were
saying. Pelicanetic, I think if you want to go by yourself, it's probably not a bad idea. But we should probably be nearby in case anything goes down. And if we do, maybe you make some kind of alert mechanism.
Okay, so. During the bit when you were throwing out all these different adjectives to describe the Magi Foundation, like, Carcinon was taking out his phone just to, like, check the time. And so after you finish that, he then puts his phone away. Then, after what you just said, if you would like Pelicanetic, I, at the very least, could be on standby just in case you feel as though things go south. If... you want, the best way to avoid any kind of problem is to basically send us a message before an hour elapses after you're supposed to meet this fellow. That way, that's your way of letting us know that everything's in the all clear. If we don't hear anything from you, that's when we have to investigate.
I mean, yeah, that could work. I will just have my phone on me so I could text you at any time, but that's not a bad idea.
Good.
Man, this whole thing is...
Yeah. And Carcinon, you know, he can tell that you're visibly stressing out, so he's going to take his helmet off and you're looking at Sam. Look, there are a lot of things going on, and a lot of these things are all coming out all at once, and we're not sure how many of them are connected or if it's just coincidence, but let's just deal with one thing at a time as we can deal with them. That's the best we can do. And if we're working together, we'll be able to figure this all out.
Yeah, thanks. I know. I trust all of you. I'm not trying to do things on my own because, you know, thanks. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe in coincidences anymore.
I also And Carcinon, he pauses a bit. I know how it feels when your personal life and your superheroic life start to intersect, and it is never an easy feeling. I still don't know if I'll ever be able to get used to it, but I think a lot of us can understand what that feels like.
Yeah, it sucks pretty bad.
Mm.
Okay, I'm supposed to be there in an hour. So, yeah, let's say I go in there and I'll send you folks a message. And if you don't hear from me within an hour, I'm in trouble. But you know, right. If you want to post up nearby, that's probably fine.
I'll do that. Yeah, I mean, I was considering patrols, but I don't really have anything else. And it's better to just make sure that everything between you and this Thresher guy goes over okay.
Yeah. Okay, so with that, Evelyn is going to go. She's going to take a fairly circuitous route. Like, obviously, there are secret entrances and exits to the base so that we can leave as our, like, normal personas. But beyond that, she's going to take, like, a really circuitous route getting to the bar just to throw off any leads, like, taking, like, multiple buses, like, stopping at a bookstore, that kind of thing. Like, just, you know, wasting time.
Totally.
Yeah.
As you're in the last couple minutes heading towards the bar with no name, you do get a text message, from Carcinon on the, you know, the torch line, and it basically just reads, in position.
Okay, and she's gonna text the group, I'm going in.
Right. Heading inside the bar with no name, the smell of the place is, you know, it, once again, it hits you like a fist before... you know, you start to get used to it a little bit. There are a couple of guys in here. One of the albinos is behind the bar. You know, he's bartending as usual. But at one of the tables towards the back, seated in a way that he can see the door as people come in, you see, indeed, your acquaintance, Joseph Thresher. Okay. He has a drink in front of him. And he, as you enter, you catch his eye, he catches yours, and he just gives you a very small nod as you come in.
Okay. Evelyn's first going to go to the bar, get the bartender's attention, and say, see that guy in the corner over there? I'll have what he's having. Also, I'm covering his tab today.
The bartender, he listens to you say this, and, you know, he... nods in response before getting a glass and filling up a pint.
Thanks. And
he hands it to you with another nod. You pay him, and so you take your glass and head over to where he's sitting. Good of you to show up. I expect we have a few things that we need to talk about.
Yes. Listen, I appreciate you meeting me here. This place is safe. I'm pretty sure. And I've got some friends in the neighborhood. But before we talk about anything, where are you staying now?
Well, after that problem at the motel, I'm going to have to re-examine my options. Frankly, I'm not too sure where I'm going to be staying at the moment, but basically, so long as it's a place where I can keep my head down, I'm not going to complain.
I think I have some ideas. You see, the problem, the Magi Foundation seemed to be able to track you. Did you do something? Do you know how they found you at the hotel?
He just gives a small shrug at that. I'm really not too sure. Your guess is as good as mine. I've done a bit of research on them and their interest in paranormal phenomena, I'm guessing that they maybe have some way of detecting individuals with certain supernatural signatures.
Okay, that's what I was worried about. I think the best way to fight magic is with magic. And I don't know much about him personally, but we have a pretty powerful mage on retainer, and I think he might be able to help us.
Interesting.
If we can make you invisible to their sensors or whatever, we could probably hold you up at our base of operations, or you could just stay at my apartment. I've got a spare room.
That's admittedly a very generous offer. You don't know very much about me.
I know enough. Yeah, it's true, we haven't really spoken very much, and you know, we've seen each other for a total of 5 minutes, maybe. But I've been doing a lot of work in the background. Dr. Thresher, you've made quite a few ripples in my world before we met. Listen, I do have a lot of questions, but I guess, look, I came here outside of my alter ego, persona, whatever, for a number of reasons, but mostly I just want to present myself as someone that you can trust. I want to be completely frank. If I'm right about what happened to you, we share a lot of experiences already. I think I know exactly what you've been through, and it really pains me. I'm sorry for anything that Dr. King Fisher may have done to you. I truly can't express that enough. I want to help you because I can tell that you're in trouble, and I think that nothing that's happened to you is your fault.
He is digesting all of this, watching you closely, not in a pointed way, the same way that maybe some members of the guild were doing, like Witchbane, but you can tell that he is weighing your words carefully, but you can tell that it's not like there is no emotion in the guy. Like, you can tell that he is watching you as you say all this, definitely, you know, measuring you up, and then that's kind of you to say.
Yeah,
I don't think we've been properly introduced, Miss...
Oh, Evelyn. Evelyn Kinglet. Dr. Evelyn Kinglet. Nice to meet you.
I see. Pleasure. And he shakes her hand. And now, what is your relationship to Fisher?
Okay. Yeah, you better tuck into that pint. This is a bit of a long story. And she's going to give him the full story. But the short version for the listeners is Evelyn was, or still is, a postdoc, postdoctoral researcher with Dr. Kingfisher. So she started work on a government-funded research project with him to study bird song, bird behavior, basically using birds as a model for neuroscience. And that involved some very, very complicated, computer work, a lot of neurochemistry, basically all of Evelyn's specialties. And during an experiment, something went wrong. Something went really wrong. A pelican had been plugged in to this computer matrix in order to read its brainwaves, get an ECG off of this bird. But during a power surge at the lab, Evelyn got accidentally connected to part of this circuit. The pelican died instantly just from the voltage, but part of its soul, or whatever birds have, was effectively catapulted into her, implanted into her brain, and that gave her the powers that she has. She blacked out. She doesn't remember much of the following days, but she didn't really develop her powers until a few days later, and so she was able to keep them hidden from everyone involved.
So he listens to all of this, nodding, maybe asking a couple questions here and there, but as you finish up, quite the experience indeed. If I may ask, what day, what was the date of this experiment that resulted in your connection?
The date? The exact date? Oh man, this would have been months ago. Mm. I guess, what is it now? It's like September? This would have probably been last February, probably.
Okay, so yeah, I can say that, you give it a bit of thought and you can sort of like pin down maybe the exact day that it happened. So he listens to this. Dr. Fisher first approached me about his theory and wanting to re-perform the experiment maybe a number of weeks after what happened to you. So from the sounds of things, you may have been... Of the two of us, you're the first person that this happened to.
Oh, wait, re-perform the experiment? So I was right. That's exactly what's happened. Oh my god.
I suppose I can tell you a little bit about what's happened to me. I would say it was about early April that Dr. Fisher approached me, saying that he had obtained a number of strange readings in an experiment he had performed, and he wanted to pass it off to my department in hopes of replicating the procedure as he knew of a number of technologies that our facility had. Given his lack of funding at the time, he couldn't reperform the experiment himself, but he wanted to see if we could perform it and pass the results along to him. So, we did the same, but given our specialty in ichthyology, we used a Mako shark as the base, and I performed the procedure to see it. We had wanted to study a number of things involving the migration of fish, as well as their tendency to return to certain spawning grounds, and we wanted to track that. So, we performed the procedure, and very similar to what happened to you, I found myself with strange abilities and a connection to a Mako shark, or its spirit anyway. I informed him of this, and he thanked me for that, but then he seemed to cut any and all traces of all contact with me. I tried following him up on things, but it seemed like he was deliberately ignoring me. I wasn't sure what was going on, but then I was finally able to get in contact with him over a call, but he seemed strange, erratic, a bit disoriented, and well, I started gaining my suspicions after he sent us this information and having us do this experiment and then seeming to cut all contact with us whatsoever. I started doing some digging of my own, and I wasn't able to get any hard evidence, but I didn't like what I found. I received information that he was dangerously low on funding, that he had been in contact with an organization called the Magi Foundation, and that he was apparently doing work for them. I didn't know what exactly, though. So I came here in hopes of learning more myself, but I felt that the best way to do it maybe would be to go about this incognito. And well, the other night, I broke into his office. Unfortunately, the only way I could to get the information I needed. I was able to obtain a flash drive containing, well, I examined it on my laptop earlier this morning, and what I found is troubling.
Evelyn's mind is just reeling at this point, and she's gonna interrupt. Oh my god, this is exactly what I was worried about. This means that, does he know what happened to me? Does he know who I am? Does he know my alter identity? Does that mean that the Magi Foundation knows my alter identity if he's working for them? Why did he hire me back just so he could spy on me? Look, if all of that is the case, if he knows who I am, if they know who I am, this whole thing could be a setup, right? They could be watching us right now. Ugh.
And he holds up a hand. We don't know that for certain. And right now, what us talking about this, exchanging this information is worth risk.
Wait, hold on. Just one question. Has a billboard talked to you recently?
He kind of like stares at you for a moment. A billboard?
Our team has been getting weird, kind of subliminal, not so subliminal messages from signs around town. Just before we found you at the hotel, I was heading back to base, and a billboard flashed at me and told me to find the fish. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it since.
At this, he peers at you real closely. Now that is unusual.
Yeah, you're telling me. So there's something or someone that's watching us and knows what's happening and is trying to pull strings. Anyways, the only reason I'm fixating on it so much is because I know so little about it. What I should really be worried about is the stuff that I know about, right? Again, maybe I'm being too paranoid here, but I just want to make sure that all of us are safe. You've put a lot of personal risk into coming here. You've jeopardized your career, your life, even. I feel some responsibility for that. I hope you can understand.
Evelyn, you had nothing to do with what happened to me.
I mean, not directly, but still. I think I'm maybe one of the only people who can help you in this situation.
Perhaps.
I want to know what's on that flash drive, but I think your safety and my safety comes first. So I'm going to go talk to a wizard.
Before you do, there are some more things that you need to know, just in case, hypothetically, something were to happen to me, the Magi Foundation, or somebody else finds me, and we may not have the chance to see each other again. And he does take out the flash drive. I've already made a copy of the relevant documents, and I do have them on my laptop. The more copies we have of this circulating, the better. And before you can protest, he takes your hand and firmly presses it into your palm.
Thanks.
These contain blueprints, diagrams of a new machine that he's been making. When you have the time, look it over. I believe it bears... Well, at this, like, you can tell that he's, like, staring off a bit. Like, whatever it is that he's seen on this has rattled him. You will understand, after seeing the machine that you used, you will see some similarities, that is for certain.
Yes, I figured as much. And listen, just so that you understand exactly where I'm coming from and exactly how serious this might be, we just came back from an interview, I guess, with the Magi Foundation, where they admitted that they had contracted Dr. Kingfisher and that they were looking for you as a wanted criminal, which you are, by the way, because you were caught on camera when you broke into his office, because you had stole materials that they had commissioned him to make. They also were very cagey about certain containment, interrogation, and other methods that they were using to deal with this demon invasion, which is ongoing. I can't believe I even just said that. I think all of these things are linked, and I don't even want to know how. Something is going on at the Magi Foundation, and it needs to be stopped.
I agree. And okay. I do agree with you. Something that I have learned is that when so many strange coincidences pile up like this, then, once a bit of digging is done, people are quick to realize that they aren't, in fact, coincidences at all.
Don't need a billboard to tell me that. Look, I gotta go. But hey, man, look, here's an address for a motel that's out of town. See if you can get there. Hire a private taxi service or something. Here's a card, and Evelyn's gonna give him her credit card.
Okay. Wow. All right. So he takes that. He sees your name on it, and his eyebrows go up. All right.
Stay low, as low as you can. Don't use your powers unless it's a matter of life and death. I think that might be how they track you. I will contact you at that hotel. If you can't make it there, contact me at this number. It's my personal cell phone. And she'll give him the number. Once I have this figured out, once I have a line to, our magical friend, I'll let you know. But please, please, stay safe.
All right. I will. And there's one other thing I wanted to ask you. You have this connection to this bird spirit. How deep is your connection to it?
We've had some nice talks. He seems pretty chill, given everything that's happened. I can teach you some meditation techniques.
And at this, he actually smiles a bit. I've actually gone a bit deeper than that. What I'm curious is, have you seen the tree? And when he says these words, Evelyn, you feel something like ripple in your consciousness. And when he says the tree, he says it as though the first letters of those words should be capitalized.
Evelyn just like blinks a couple times. I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, we really don't have time to get into this here. Please.
All right.
There's no time for metaphysics.
I just felt my powers tingle. Don't do that again. It's dangerous.
All right. Well, what I'm saying is, the next time you meditate, and the next time you come in contact with your spirit, don't be afraid to dive deeper. And he's watching you in a way like, whatever it is that he has experienced, you can sense that, far from being afraid of it, he, like, whatever it is seems to have, like, affected him profoundly. And he is telling you this because he feels as though he wants you to get in on this as well.
Hey, okay. Thanks. Yeah, let's talk about this another time, all right?
Soon. All right. Go talk to your wizard.
Okay. Maybe don't leave until 5 minutes after I do. And then Evelyn's gonna get up and go.
Smart. Thank you. I won't forget this.
Okay.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening. You can find us on Tumblr at listentothesenerds.tumblr.com or on Twitter at LTTNcast. All our music is sourced from incompetech.com and is licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. You can email us at listentothesenerds@gmail.com.